Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Reports, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
The Worcester Report today is a little different because we, Lorianne and I, the presenters, are also the guests. We had the opportunity to speak on Canadian radio on the station that we used to be part of in Ottawa, CKCU. They asked us if we could be interviewed on air, and it turned out to be technically very difficult because of time delays, problems with Skype and other things like that. So instead, we recorded two interviews, one where I interviewed Lorianne and another where she interviewed me. And we sent the interviews to CKCU. And a couple of weeks ago, they played the first of those two. I don't think we can expect to see the second. I think the broadcast was perfectly complete as it was. But today, listeners, you'll be able to hear both of them. I shall play first the recording exactly as it went out from CKCU, and I'll follow it with the rest of the interview where Lorianne interviews me. And this is an opportunity for you to get to know us a little bit, to see our feelings about what we're doing here in South Africa. And I think it makes quite interesting listening.
Snowplow Set, which is quite the, from their Christmas CD. So we're going to play right now, just going to get into this right now. We're going to play a little bit of a letter from across the miles by our friends Tony and Lorianne Coppell. So here goes.
Hello, Space Cadets. It's Lorianne Coppell. I used to be on Window of Opportunity on CKCU, and it's great to be on CKCU Airwaves again. And my hugs and blessings to Shelley Ann Morris.
And this is her husband, Tony, and I'm going to attempt to interview her. L.A., you were on CKCU for 16 years. Then you up and left to become a missionary in South Africa. That's quite a change.
Yes, it is. Although I've always, when I've been on air, would have a positive story in whatever show I would be in, whether it was Window of Opportunity or Over My Head, which is a Christian show on CKCU on Sunday mornings, or even on Canadian Spaces. It's always about positive stories, and of course, the gospel is a positive story.
Actually, I think you were a missionary when you were in Ottawa. It's just a different mission field.
That's true.
So when you arrived in South Africa, did you feel a pull to continue broadcasting in some form?
I fell in love with radio at CKCU. I wanted to continue, went on to Algonquin College to learn radio, and what perfect thing to do but do audio production and music and story in internet form.
So you have an internet radio station here. What's it called?
CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
Does it broadcast 24/7?
No, it does not, but we podcast.
Is CWCP Radio part of your missionary calling now?
Very much so. In fact, one of the things that we do on the Worcester Report on Thursdays at 8 p.m. here in South Africa, and I have this devotional segment called Ways to Go in God.
Tell us a little more about that.
Ways to Go in God is basically from my devotional blog called waystogoingod.org, and there are basically different aspects of coming mature in your faith and different things that you can do, but not just that. And one of the things is to rest and be still.
Now, I don't think that broadcasting on CWCP is the primary objective of your time here in South Africa. Just give us a feel for some of the other things that take up your time.
We teach children Monday to Friday. I teach art on Tuesdays. Tony teaches music and science. We're involved in three after-school kids clubs to poor township kids and farm kids, and also with a group of teens. We're in the prison on Saturday mornings. which is a real highlight of our week. We sing with them. We share something called the Alpha Course. And I do drawing, which is something that has just exploded here in South Africa.
I've noticed you've produced more pieces of art in the last year and a half, 2 years, than the previous 15 years.
Yes, I have.
Why?
Well, one thing was I've been inspired by the landscape and the people here. It's incredibly beautiful. The people are broken, but there is a real creative vibe, so to speak, here.
Going back to technical stuff for a second, you're in CKCU. It's an on-air regular radio broadcasting station. Here, we have a little box called a Raspberry Pi, which allows us to broadcast pre-recorded material. Give a comparison between the two experiences.
They are completely different, but I can say that what we do with my little Marantz that I got when I was studying radio at Algonquin is it's very similar to the current affairs programs on CKCU for Special Blend and such like that, where they record something and then play it later. So we have to do that. We don't actually have a studio at this point, although who knows, we may get involved with Valley FM in Worcester.
So how is the music scene in South Africa for both folk and Christian music?
So far, we have been wonderfully surprised. There are so many genres here in the Rainbow Nation, and we've only encountered little bits. Some of the music has been copying American folk. Others are very Afrikaner, so to speak. And then we are just so, so surprised. So we've been asking people, do you know of any South African musicians that we can get to know? And we're beginning to get some submissions. But I can tell you that South African folk here, with the exception of Kaleidoscope, tends to be very African, which is good by us. But sometimes we just want to hear Canadian singer-songwriter.
Well, yes, of course. I love the music here. And we can always listen to CKCU anytime we like. And we do.
And we do. Including Canadian spaces, of course.
Okay, LA, let's have an example of South African folk music for the Space Cadets.
I was led to check out this wine and music festival nearby Worcester in a place called Ney, and one of our favorite wineries, actually. And so we went to go see Kaleidoscope, who gave us a delightful time. And their song that we've chosen is called The Call from their album Grondstoeling Saison.
Then grew into a hope, which then turned into a quiet thought, which then turned into a quiet word, and then that word grew louder and louder till it was a battle cry. I'll come back when they call me. No need say goodbye. Just because everything's changing doesn't mean it's never been this way before. All you can do is try to know who your friends are when you head off to the war. Pick a star on the dark horizon and follow the light. You'll come back when it's over. No need to say goodbye. You'll come back when it's over. No need to say goodbye. Now we're back at the beginning. It's just a feeling and no one knows yet. Just because they can't feel it too doesn't mean you have to forget. Let your memories grow stronger and stronger till they're before your eyes. You'll come back when they call you. No need to say goodbye. You'll come back when they call you. No need to say goodbye.
Shelley Ann Morris, wasn't that fun to hear from Tony and Lorianne Koppel all the way in South Africa? And I'm assuming you're listening now, y'all. I think it's about 7 hours later than here in the national capital area. So let's say, for example, if it's 11:37, 44, 45, 46, yeah, like that, as Jabber used to say, let's say 11:38, then by a simple mathematical calculation, Shelley, we can figure out that it's later in the day in South Africa.
It is. Now, I have to say...
And a big hello to you. That was a beautiful song.
Well, it's so interesting because Tony and Lorianne, like, they were the ones sort of gave me my start in a way with Window of Opportunity.
Yeah.
And I came in and I co-hosted with you because you were hosting on occasion.
And one thing led to another, as it often does in life, I've noticed.
And the thing about Tony and Lorianne is now that they live all the way around the world, they put out these podcasts, and it's like getting a letter from home or a letter from across the miles.
Yeah, so hi to them. Now let's continue on and say hi to
Tony,
them.
My turn. You were reluctant to become a missionary at first. Now you are in the thick of it. What happened?
Well, hello, Chris and Shelley and everybody out there. In a couple of cases in my life, there was something that I really didn't want to do. And the first one was going on the first mission trip with Lorianne. And the second one was becoming a long-term missionary. Long-term is 3 years, that sort of time. And in each case, my change of heart happened overnight. I didn't want to do it. And then the next day, not only did I want to do it, but I was keen and I just wanted to learn as much as I could. The only explanation I can give is maybe somebody out there was praying.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm one of them. So you've always loved music, really loved music. And as a musician, a listener, and a broadcaster, are you able to satisfy your thirst for more tunes in Worcester, South Africa?
Yes, I love the music that I hear, although the style of pop music that on most of the stations is largely American current pop music, you know, Justin Bieber and Canadian music, I should say. And I get a bit tired of that after a while. But there's a sprinkling of good African music amongst it, and I really enjoy that. But we brought with us a huge amount of our music. It's all on a 2 terabyte disc and a backup, just in case anything happened to it, which would be terrible disaster for us. So anytime we want music, we've got great music to play, and we use that on our radio station from time to time. One other area of, well, important area is that I do get to play a lot of music here on the guitar in both the kids' clubs that we lead. So a few days ago, for example, we had about 65 children, and I led them in a bunch of songs, most of which they know, so they all join in and they enjoy that. And Lorianne actually made a recording of that. And also in the prison where we minister, we always start off with some praise songs and so on. And they like to hear some of the songs where I've written the music to poems by inmates, actually inmates in Ottawa Carlton Detention Centre, who I have known. There's an arts festival coming up in Worcester shortly called the Doxa Arts Festival, and I've offered to sing some of those songs, perform some of those songs live to whoever wants to hear them. So why don't we play you one of those songs now? This is a man called Howie A., who wrote the words, and I put the tune, and here's a recording I made of it 2 or 3 years ago.
Morning glory starts the story, a breath of innocence. Angels greeting, we start believing a loving consequence. True and faithful, to him be grateful, and Christ will shine on you. Awake, you sleeper, receive the helper through grace, not what we do. Our time alive, open up our eyes, our Lord, your will to serve. Your glory shine, your Son divine, our hearts, your will to learn. Infinite glorious, holy warriors, fight not against the flesh, blood, brothers united and sisters delighted. Spiritual warfare in heavenly realms, and prayers of faithful, our Savior's truthful prayers, churches fixed on Christ. Here come the rapture, the morning after, in glory with God exist.
Tony, you're teaching music in a school for township children ages 8 to 12. What aspects of music would you like them to learn from you?
Well, I was asked to do this, but I am not a music teacher. I've never taught anyone to play an instrument. I play guitar and I play keyboard just for my own enjoyment. So I decided that much more important than teaching them an instrument was teaching them music appreciation. And because I think that kids are growing up today and they only know one genre of music. It may be hip-hop or rap or something like that. They're not aware of the great wealth of music. So in the first course, I concentrated on introducing them to many other different types of music and helping them to hear examples of them. In fact, we did a program when I played 38 genres of music, and I'm trying to teach them about other forms of music. I do try and teach them to play a piano, xylophone, and recorder, but I tell you, the recorder is not easy for your very young children. They just can't get their fingers to cover all the holes properly. The piano is relatively easy, and the xylophone is a good instrument to practice and get to understand a little bit of music theory. So I do that sort of thing with these kids, and they seem to enjoy it. And we make audio recordings of some tunes, which we all play together. So we have 3 or 4 instruments, and they enjoy hearing the playback.
So what do you like most about South Africa?
Oh, well, it's easy to say. Number one, working with you, Lorianne, in just about everything, being with you 24 hours a day mostly, and that's great. 80% in this country are nominally Christian. So amongst the circles that we are with here in Worcester, the chances are somebody will be a church-going Christian. So when I've been to see a doctor, or a couple of doctors actually, what do I find? I find Christian music going on in their surgeries, and they're perfectly ready to accept the fact that maybe I'm feeling a little better because people are praying for me. that's not a surprise to them. So that's a little different from back home, but it's something that we really like here. South African radio is good. There's a program called SAFM, which is talk radio, but it plays music for much of the time. And that's the main station that I listen to. They have very good presenters, and I'm most impressed with South African radio generally. I don't watch too much South African television. Generally, the TV station that we watch is the BBC World Service News. And you don't need anything else if you have that.
But we also listen to a lot of CKCU online, so there you go.
Well, we listen to lots of things online, don't we? More things that I like about being here. Strangers wave at you. The weather is lovely. There's complete freedom of the press. Although there is a lot of complaints all the time. You hear it on the radio, people saying they don't like this, that, and the other. The point is that they can say anything about anybody here, and nobody wants to lock them up for it.
Except if it's racial.
Yes. If it's racial, they hit you with a ton of bricks. But that brings me to my last thing. Amongst the people that we've met, total harmony between races. We have the blacks, the browns, and the whites. And I've never overheard or heard any of those bad-mouthing the others in any way. There has been a tremendous advancement since the end of apartheid. Now, that doesn't mean to say that there aren't bad things going on in different parts of the country. There's a lot of crime in this country.
Would you like me to play an example of South African Christian music?
Yes, we discovered a band just almost by accident. Somebody recommended them. They heard a nice tune, a great tune, and they didn't know what it was. And Shazam told us what it was. The band is Helom and Renee Worship. And here's a tune called Be Still.
Thank you.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me, and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God. Growing in God. Can he use those who are weak? Yes. Let's hear some more stories. My name is Laurianne, and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During my last broadcast, we began a journey through the stories of people who are weak. The Apostle Paul took not only comfort in his human weakness, but also let it remind him to not let his own strengths get in the way of what God wants to do. He said in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, "That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses, in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Gideon was transformed from a fearful man to become a great hero. Many formerly strong people have discovered the near joy of letting go of self-sufficiency. We often need to come to the end of ourselves to find God. We realize that there is something more. Heidi Baker often cries out more in her pre-talk prayers. Andrew Murray had to come to the end of himself so that he could lean more on God in his preaching, devotions, and impact on others. He was used as one of the leaders of the 1860 to 1862 Cape Awakening here in South Africa. And sometimes those with incredible abilities have to put them aside so that they don't coast through life on those abilities. These are incredible gifts, yes, but God has so much more. When it comes to the extraordinary, brilliance often comes through imperfect vessels. With the weak, God doesn't have to go through the same breaking process, but rather a healing and a building process. This was the case with Don Gikandi, a disabled pastor in Nairobi. God's brilliance, gentleness, and father heart of love shows through my friend Ron Pickett as he ministers to people in his power wheelchair in person and online. Our friend Carl ministers music and the arts here in Worcester. His push wheelchair doesn't stop his faith. And then there is Avis Goodhart, who struggled with Bell's palsy right on the mission field of Peru. Avis just kept right on going, as did Heidi Baker when her husband Roland suffered for 2 years with cerebral malaria that almost killed him. Yet he was healed. Here are some more stories to strengthen us in the telling. There is an amazing man that has ministered in difficult places like in Iraq. His name is Andrew White. I was also blessed in hearing him speak in person at Toronto's Catch the Fire. I even recorded the sharing on my iPad. Andrew is a charismatic Anglican priest. He started out in England and eventually earned the nickname of Vicar of Baghdad. He was the only Western Anglican priest in what was originally an expat church. During Andrew's ministry in Baghdad, the congregation was all Iraqi. Andrew has a huge heart of reconciliation in the Middle East, as well as compassion for persecuted Iraqi Christians. Had it not become incredibly dangerous, he would still be ministering in Baghdad. Andrew was like a dear uncle to many children and the poor, whether Muslim or Christian. He is not only a priest, but he is also a medical professional. He's a top-notch anesthesiologist. He had a medical outreach in his church that provided free medical care, dental care, and prescriptions to Muslims and Christians alike. Yet he is also disabled through MS. The doctor at his clinic found a way to treat him with his own stem cells, which gave him amazing perseverance in his ministry. To this day, he is often in Jordan with his Iraqi refugees. He makes sure the Iraqi church remnant survives, including a school for the children. While he walks with a cane and has to limit his ministry time, the time he does spend with people is very, very precious. You would feel like you were a beloved member of his congregation. Earlier I mentioned Iris Global co-founder Roland Baker struggled for 2 years with cerebral malaria, and his wife Heidi continued on in the midst of supporting him. Roland was eventually healed, as was Heidi years earlier, from flesh-eating disease. Sick or not, they continue. During harvest school, Heidi taught us despite suffering from dental pain. She's a real trooper, but she was also given the grace to persevere until the dentist could help her. I found that there are more Irish folk that minister despite illness or disability. I'm one of them. When I arrived in Pemba for harvest school, I was thankful that I spent a year training physically with my friend Lynn. We had a twice-a-week regimen that included the treadmill, weights, stretchy bands, and stairs. There were moments that it was hard, but it gave me the resilience to walk up and down the steep hill on the base. Most of the other students were young and fit. I was the only one who walked with a cane and was limited in jumping up on the back of a truck like others had to do. We had hoped for my healing during the school, and although that didn't happen, I was given strength to do my assignments, including speaking and ministering in the deep bush of Lindi, 5 hours north of our Pemba base. There were a number of disabled Mozambicans in the Irish church on the base with various homemade walkers and canes. They were good-natured, full of joy, and glad to be there. We noticed each other with initial surprise that grew to a strong mutual respect. My own handicaps were a concern on my report from the school, which later was discussed by both our Irish Ministry in Canada leaders and those here in Western Cape. Johan Fury encouraged me and said that while I couldn't do certain things, there was plenty to do. He also had experienced a broken foot and yet still had to work and minister despite his pain. I was and still am thankful for Johan and Marie's support in all that I do and what Tony does. Tony often tells me that he is amazed at what I do despite arthritis, mobility issues, and allergies. But I can honestly say that I'm given the grace to do what I must do while I work towards getting better. Another Irish disabled champion is Michelle Perry. Michelle has an amazing story. Michelle accomplished a lot after coming to faith when she was 7, including motivational speaking, leadership training, consulting, and writing, all before she was 16. She also stopped for the one in the American inner city streets, the streets of Calcutta, and later in Bangladesh. She was led to Iris after seeing Papa Roland speak in Denver and went off to harvest school like Tony and I did years later. She even arrived at the school with shingles, which was healed by God in Mozambique. She was the one who pioneered the Iris base in South Sudan, which is now led by Carolyn Figlioli. Michelle endured the war-torn South Sudan bush with only having one leg. I can't imagine how hard that must have been, but her book, Love Has a Face, describes all the walking and ministry she did, so she must have been fit. Add to her situation that she stood out. The fact that she was so white among very black Sudanese was already an obvious contrast. She said, "If I had been Sudanese, no one would have cast a second glance, but I am very white, and everyone was fascinated. In addition, I have one leg and walk with crutches, making my white appearance all the more fascinating." They probably gave her the same curious looks that I received in Pemba when I was walking around with a cane, but only having one leg is even more obvious. She was already forced to depend on God physically, and her time in Sudan taught her even more about extreme dependence on God in other ways. We cannot love people to life on our own. It's entirely with His life and His love. It's entirely through Him transforming our hearts to reflect His. Having less than a perfect body shows the point even more. It's only by His grace. Michelle came to faith in the hospital. She said she was no stranger to hospitals. She was born missing her left hip, leg, and kidney. She also had other birth defects that needed 23 surgeries before she was 13, so she walks with crutches. Michelle came to faith in her hospital room when she had a physical encounter with Jesus. He showed her that He is pure love. She said, "There He was in my room. He looked with eyes that saw me and loved every part. The good parts, the not so good parts, the broken parts, He loved them all." Michelle was not invisible. She was seen. She later learned that others were invisible too, and part of her ministry was to see them, to notice them, and to love them. In Bangladesh, she shared with beggars on the corners who wondered why she was not begging as well. They told her, "You only have one leg. You should be in your country begging, and you definitely should not be happy." So she introduced them to the one who took care of her needs and gave her joy. She didn't let her disability stop her. In fact, Jesus made her thrive because she completely depended on Him. She loved on our Sudanese community with the love of Jesus and had many children under her care. Some of these kids were beloved, fearless three-year-olds who knew how to pray with confidence. Her personal favorite prayer was offered up by one of these kids. The prayer was, "Jesus, please bring Mama her leg. I know it is in heaven. Bring it here now. Leg grow." Michelle said, "If I ever had a doubt of my leg being restored, my children's faith has sure helped to banish it." While she still has one leg, Michelle continues to be used of the Lord to touch many lives. Speaking of Christian leaders missing a body part, here is another example. Bethany Hamilton is a professional surfer who often speaks to Christian youth to encourage them in their faith. She even went on a mission trip in Thailand a year or two after the horrible tsunami in 2004. Bethany unfortunately lost one arm to a shark attack. She struggled with what to do with her life after this event and eventually relearned how to surf professionally. You can see her story in the movie Soul Surfer. In my last talk, I shared about how Andrew Murray's strengths and the self-effort attitudes get in the way of what God wants to do in us. Eventually, he learned that he simply could not minister in his own strength, especially when it came to writing as much as he did. He wrote a lot of devotional books. He had to dictate his writings to his daughter Annie or another relative. He was forced to do this because he couldn't hold a pen for very long. He never completely recovered from malaria that he caught when he was 21. This was only part of what he endured, as well as overwork from his early ministry tours in the Transvaal. Andrew shared that he prayed about whether to leave his first pastorate of Bloemfontein for one further north. He felt burdened because there were no pastors in that area. His mother prayed and gave him advice that he might hear from God in a natural way rather than a supernatural one. She encouraged him that God could speak of his limitation through his health. He was encouraged to use this as an opportunity to lean on God in ministry instead of taking up another pastorate based on his human strengths and gifts alone. Andrew was responding to need. His mother was concerned that he would burn out and eventually leave the ministry. Unfortunately, many pastors do this. Many missionaries, too. Andrew shared that he had painful tingles in his arms, hands, and back whenever he doesn't get enough rest. Tony and I were also advised by my Father's House Worcester founder Jan Buchanan when we were led to join her ministry a year ago. She shared of the dynamics of ministry in Avian Park and warned us, don't just respond to need. If you do, you'll burn out. Lead on God and do what He assigns you. Let God, instead, respond to the need. Jen was right. We need to remember our limits and not respond to need, whether you are disabled or not. We all have limits. Let God use you despite them. Acknowledge your limits. Bring them to God. Let Him expand them for specific assignments. Then the glory goes to Him, since this is something you just can't do. Each of these Christian leaders' stories show that they brought their disabilities to God. In the last broadcast, I mentioned that Dawn Kakandi resisted her call due to her disabilities. But then she trusted God to make her able to minister His love. This is in Kenya, where the disabled are shunned. My little brother Ron has peace with how God uses him to touch lives, even when he is in daily pain. His resilience surely is a gift from God. Avis Goodhart was given a chance to turn her life into something beautiful, so the unlikely missionary to Peru poured the love of Jesus into kids. Henry Nouwen may not have been a missionary, but he took his own brokenness and gave it to God. He was used to bless many, including the disabled in the L'Arche community. Andrew White has a difficult life physically, but he is one of the most joy-filled people I've ever known. He shines with the same deep light of the persecuted church and is given the ability to minister to persecuted Iraqi Christians in the midst of his own pain. Michelle Perry founded Iris South Sudan, although she had to give it up after 13 bouts of serious malaria and other problems. But she endured the bush for 7 years, plus ministering in many other slums with one leg. And she still keeps going because of her dependence on God. And lastly, Andrew Murray learned to depend on God once again. First, he had to give God his strengths. Now, he had to give God his weakness, and he could write through the help of dictation. After all, having a co-writer isn't new. The Apostle Paul did this as well. There are even more stories that I could have shared in this two-part talk. You may even have a story of God working through your weakness. Celebrate it. You've become a champion. So what are your strengths? Give them to Jesus. Don't let them get in the way so you burn out for God. Don't live by your strengths. Give them to God. What are your weaknesses? Give them to God as well. He will make them strengths in a way that seems like a paradox. Jesus promises us that we can do all things through Him who strengthens us. But this is really a promise when we rest in Him and don't strive. Let Him work through you. Let Him surprise you. His surprises often look different than you expect. So set aside what you think ministry would look like. Sometimes it's different, especially if you're not your average person. Of course your ministry will look different. If you were an ice cream flavor, you would be, say, mango rather than vanilla. So celebrate that you have your own contribution. Lord, thank you that you made us all different. Some of us have different weaknesses than others. I ask that you would lay a firm foundation under our weaknesses. Give us your strength and grace to do something special with our lives. I think of an old movie about the hearing impaired. They called it Children of a Lesser God. And yet, that's not true. We are not lesser people, and you are not a lesser God. It matters not what challenges we have. What matters is your love, your strength, and your faithfulness to us. Thank you that you give us incredible opportunities and you fill our lives with purpose. Open our eyes and hearts to know this beautiful truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Copples Western Cape Radio.
Just to say thank you What can I offer in return? These hands, these arms, these feet, as long as this heart beats, all set apart, dear Lord, for your use. When I am weak, then I'm strong. I will boast in this alone, so everyone can see it's your power resting on me. When I am weak, then I'm strong. I will boast in this alone. Oh, the risen Christ in me, it's his power that's setting me free. When I am weak, then I'm strong. I will boast in this alone, so everyone can see it's his power that's resting on me. When I am weak, then I'm strong. I will boast in this alone. The risen Christ in me, it's his power that's setting us free. Jesus, for what you've done in my life. I cannot say enough about the joy and peace in me. You're giving me sweet victory, oh Lord. I love you, Lord. Yeah, I love you, Lord. I really love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Yeah, I love you, Lord. I really love you, Jesus.
Sandy Alexander sang When I Am Weak, Then I Am Strong. Now, last Sunday, we missed the sermon at church because we were working with the Kinderkirk. But by chance, the video recording that was made is available on our church YouTube channel, and Johan Skoenred spoke in English. And it's a powerful sermon, and it happens to be along the same subject as Lauriane has just discussed in Ways to Grow in God Through Weakness. His sermon is called The Power of a Vulnerable Heart, and I have posted it, the video, right on our Couples Western Cape Facebook page, and I do strongly recommend you go and watch it. It could alter the way you think about many things in life. So we're coming towards the end of this week's Worcester Reports, and I'm going to do something that I haven't done before. I've loved jazz for a long, long time, and I remember back in around 1959 listening to an album by the Modern Jazz Quartet called Pyramid, and I can even remember where I was sitting in my room in university and listening to this gorgeous music. And although I had enjoyed traditional jazz thus far in my life, this was a turning point when I suddenly realized the beauty of modern jazz, and this led me to much more exploration of jazz for the rest of my life, really. But here's the original recording, which I dubbed onto reel-to-reel tape, of Pyramid. Milt Jackson on vibes, John Lewis on piano, Connie Kay on drums, and Percy Heath on bass. And I still love this piece of music, and I think it has a nice feeling to go out with from this edition of the Worcester Reports. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you.